after 1910 were what the priest was supposed to do, then the laws of then the chapter 21 to 22 are, I guess you could say, how the priests are supposed to live. So we've had a little bit of break in talking about the priest. Last week it was more about just laws, and we'll talk some about what the people were required to do. This is back talking about the priest again. Leviticus 21 is really more about the qualifications of the priest, I guess you'd say. Contact with dead, physical blemishes, who they can take as wives, holy actions. And then chapter 22, sacrificial duties of the priest, and how they're in doing their remaining clean, the eating of sacrifices, and who can do that, and then observance of sacrificial regulations. I guess you could say that we can break that chapter down. Russ said in his prayer log, that's something that struck me, is in these lessons, to make us better Christians. How can a lesson like tonight do that?
Here. Something we've talked about before, he created in us the inclination to worship him, what he's taught here, and all along here, under what conditions he'll be worshiped. Be holy, for I am holy. And that doesn't carry through in exactly the same ways as it did under the old law, but he's still, as far as the holiness is concerned, we have a certain standard.
Well,
also, it tells us in the New Testament that the old law was designed to bring us in preparation for the new covenant. And if all we ever studied was the new covenant, I think we would really struggle to understand a lot of it, especially the book of Hebrews. A lot of what we've been studying here in Leviticus is directly taken into, not working very well, but
it's a shadow.
It means a lot of what we study in the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. And I'd go so far as to say I really don't know that we could understand Hebrews really at all if we didn't study Leviticus. Right?
There's some things in here tonight that, at first glance, for some people, it seem almost sort of brutal apartments. Yeah, you can kind of disconnect at all, but you can't approach. We know better. Trust God more than think it's cruel or heartless to say that, but I think he's using the fleshly side of things to make the spiritual. I think about 2 Peter 3, that talks about the Lord return. In verse 14, it says, when he returns, to be diligent, to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And so he's looking for there to be no defect in us. Now, if we're depending on the perfect commandment, we're going to get drunk. But the forgiveness that's provided through Jesus Christ can be without spot. So I think the necessity of that, of the spiritual blamelessness or being without defect, is called the physical.
Yeah, and the men that were priests and even the high priest, they weren't perfect. They weren't without blemish. They weren't perfect. The sacrifices that were without blemish weren't really without blemish, were they? So I think you're right. It is to get us thinking more spiritually, and that would help us today as Christians. And some of it does seem cruel and harsh. maybe you say unfair, especially when you talk about regulations of the priests and then how much more strict the regulations are for the high priest. I'm not saying it's not fair. Well, maybe it's not, but it's, you know, it's just the way it is. I don't know that we're ever promised that everything's going to be fair, right? I mean, but when God has it for a purpose in the things that He does, whether we think it fair or are equal to what other people have to do or along those lines. But we trust God, like you said. And Bob, back to what you said, I think it's a shadow of what we... This is definitely when you compare it to Christ and His sacrifice for us and His who He is and mediator for us and then us even as priests now. I think I know where you're going with that. Russ, and then...
For the... I mean, that's kind of all the above, but what I was thinking is that, you know, we ought to appreciate every day the new covenant. From what we read here concerning the priests and everything that we've been discussing, the sacrifices, and that's been said before, that, you know, we just ought to appreciate, take full advantage of the new covenant and the blessings that we have in Christ.
Even though, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but even though we serve the same God, right? Does God, in my mind, is not as harsh and cruel, I don't want it to be taken, but you know what I'm saying, today, under the new covenant, and it is because of Christ, and He was the perfect sacrifice, and He is our mediator. At least in my mind, even though it's the same God, and we learn things about God's character in the Old Testament, I think that's the big picture, one of the big pictures of the Old Testament is who is this God that we serve today? He's the same God. But we have something that they didn't in Christ that can maybe take some of that, what seems harshness and all, off of us, even though we deserve death, right, for sin, because we do sin. But we have that perfect sacrifice. Don't you?
Well, in front of you, I think, we consider too, you know, how God moved at it. And He required them to put forward Him on the things of God.
I think you're exactly right. What does, in chapter 21 and verse 4, what does He call the priests are giving them a reason not to defile themselves? They're a what? A chief man. What connotation does that carry with it? That is exactly what Brother Jim has just been talking about. They had a great influence. The priests had a great influence over the people. They were the go-between for the people to God, and then they represented God, right, to the people. They had to be above reproach. Not that the people didn't need to be too, but they had the influence, more influence. They were in a chief position. They were the chief man. I think that's exactly what you were talking about. I'm glad you brought that up. Somebody else have anything there? Yes, sir. I don't know if I can answer, but you can ask.
All of the books of the Old Testament, and especially those give the children of Israel the instruction, to put forward to edify them to the point that they would know when the Christ and who the Christ was that was going.
We should do a better job, right? think about the culture that these people had recently come out of. Well, what kind of people were they? Were they God-fearing people? They were really anything but that, weren't they? He is teaching them from not knowing anything, basically, to bring them to this covenant that He has made with them. I'll be your God if you're my people. He's got to teach them how to be His people, what kind of people they need to be able to have a relationship with Him. So, we can understand. That's what I was talking about, I guess, when I say, you know, studying the Old Testament, we learn God's character. We learn about who He is. Do we learn a whole lot about who God is in the New Testament? I mean, places, but not like we do in the Old Testament, right? New Testament is more about who? Jesus, right? We learn a whole lot about Jesus. But we need to know this schoolmaster to bring us to that, right? Like Bob said, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense if we didn't know this. Hey, Dale? Almost like He led them through that on purpose. Yeah. They had a lot to learn. And then with more, as we study more and more about the Jews throughout history, through the Old Testament, they were continuously having to learn, right? Because they kept sliding back and falling back. And, you know, I think a lot of times we may be a little too hard on them. Because, you know, we never do that, right? We never slip and slide, right?
Try to put yourself in their place.
Absolutely. I don't think we do that enough. I don't really, you know, put myself in their place. What would that be like to just come out of what they come out of and not know anything about this God that delivered them and now is not making them follow Him, but He's saying, I'll be your God if you'll be my people. They had a choice. But when they proclaimed their allegiance to Him, then He said, okay, well, if you're going to be my people, then I'm going to demand certain things from you. Just like what He's demanding of the office of priest and high priest. The office and what the office requires is the constant, right? That doesn't change on what He has required. It's man, it's the priest themselves who mess it up, right? So they have to attain this level that He expects for them to attain to meet that office, that position. Brother Billy? From the beginning. And you think about all the different writers of the Bible and the plan from the very beginning and how the continuity that there is all the way through it, and then to think that that's not inspired is just a crazy thought. Hey, Dale. And all these ceremonies and all these the sacrifices that they had to do, the feast days, the holy days that they had to keep, was all for the purpose of teaching generation after generation after generation. And they, you know, they did that continually. And even when they were doing that, just because, you know, they were bragging more about the ceremony that they had other than what it meant. It's like the temple, they bragged about having the temple more so than what the temple really was. They would still slide back, like you said, through Judges. It was a continual cycle of repentance and falling away. Yeah, and profane is used a lot of times in Leviticus, isn't it? 14 times, I think, in Leviticus, and 60, maybe more than that, in the whole Old Testament. But, okay, so if that's used a whole lot, I'm glad you brought the word. What does it mean? What does profane mean? I don't know that I used the word profane any today, in the last year, really, other than my study in this right here. What does it mean? Yeah, and in this case, we're talking about the priest and the high priest, and them not profaning. Theirs was a position that you definitely did not want to take lightly, right? Because of their position, what they had to do daily, and it starts off by talking about priests avoiding contact with the dead. Now, I mean, what were the We talk about, does it seem fair? Does it seem, is it unfair? Why was that a big deal to God? I mean, the priest, not the high priest now, but the priest could only, there was an exception for them. But they weren't supposed to come into contact with dead except for who? Next of kin, or nearest of kin, right? And who did that include? Mother, father. children, brother, sister, and that sister, you couldn't, with a sister that, virgin sister, right? It didn't mention why. I would sure think so. So nearest of kin, and then the high priest, who, what was the exception for them as far as coming into contact with the dead? There wasn't one, was there? They couldn't come in contact with the dead. Period. Didn't matter who it was. Mother, father, children, couldn't do it. And so when you talk about making light, why was that a big deal that they couldn't do that? Right, it would be unclean, because it would definitely make it clean, right?
At this time, I think it's a symbol that they were seeing. Mm-hmm. So they everybody can die.
Mm-hmm.
Death isn't a symbol.
Right.
In itself.
Right.
But it's a symbol of sin. In the New Testament, dead works is a phrase that's used to describe sin.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't be associated with something that associated with death because of that symbology.
Mm-hmm.
They would appear to God as being in sin.
And God can't have any.
No association
at all. Can't have. And also, the priests, think about what they had to do, what their position was. I think it goes more in also into that they always had to be ready to perform the priestly duty, right? And if they were unclean, could they do that? They couldn't do it. They couldn't do their job. And under this system, they needed to be able to do that job, because that's how, you know, they were able to approach God and make these sacrifices, all the different sacrifices for the people that needed to be done. So they always needed to be on the ready. But the deeper meaning, yes, Lamar, I'm glad. I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's this is all symbolic of sin and what eventually was God's remedy for sin, and who the remedy was for sin.
So they couldn't approach
death. Right.
If we just take death and make that synonymous with sin, they could not approach God in sin. So we're priests. Where does that put us? We can't approach God in sin.
We can't. And, but what's our remedy for sin? They had to wash. What do we have to do? We have to wash? See, just like Bob, like I said, it all kind of starts. It just really just makes sense, doesn't it? When you get to this part of it and what it means to us today. No, I think that makes sense. I think it's a whole system of support. I mean, who did the priests rely on for? Did they have? Were they given land and all that stuff? Who did they rely on for just their daily needs? The food that they ate. It is a system of support. Yeah. So it was, being able to eat the sacrifices, and then there's regulations on who could do that. Not just anybody could do it. It couldn't be somebody that just worked for the priest. Could be a purchased person into their house. It could be their next of their children, their wife, but not necessarily their children. There were certain restrictions on them and their status and situation as to whether or not they could. So it was a system of reliance on each other. Right. Are we under a system of reliance today, spiritually speaking? Yep. We're all members of one another. We're commanded to watch out for each other. Are there those who watch out for us that have a higher level of responsibility? Thank you. Like it was for the priest? Who would that be? Elders, right? There are requirements for them. That, you know, not that we all don't need to attain that, what those requirements are for them, but it's not commanded necessarily us as it is for them to be in the position they're in. So it is a higher, and why? Why would it be? It's not that just that they look out for us, so it's a higher level of responsibility. It's what's another reason, just like we've been talking about for the priest? I think it's the first point Mr. Jim made. Examples. They have more influence, right? So that's another similarity. Okay, so they couldn't have contact with the dead. The high priest couldn't. The priest, only a few. What about, could they be sad about people that had died? Could they mourn for them? That's right. Not to shave their head. They couldn't cut the corner off of their beard. No ritualistic cutting of themselves. Which were probably all things done in Egypt, where they just came from. So, you know, when that was told to them, that would mean something to them. He wouldn't have told them not to do that if that's not something that would have been done. That wouldn't make any sense. So it's probably some influence that they had coming out of Egypt. But they couldn't show that outward sign like that of mourning. You think about when Aaron's two sons offered strange fire and they were killed. What was told of Aaron and the other two sons? Not to mourn. Why? Does it show, could some perceive it as a lack of trust in God? Maybe that's one of the reasons. But bottom line is, he's told them not to do it. And that was just another regulation that the priests had. Did people who weren't priests of other tribes have those same regulations? No, they didn't. But again, a higher level of responsibility. What were the regulations on them as far as who they could take as a wife? Who could they marry or not marry? There's a list. Right. Could marry a prostitute. Previously married, a divorced woman, or a widow. Talking about the word profane and making light of things, or a daughter of a priest who became a harlot. What was the penalty for that, for her? That's right. The consequence was that she would profane her father. How can you apply the word profane in what we kind of define it as? Why would that profane her father? I mean, she is a daughter, a child of the priest. Really, I mean, if she goes into that lifestyle, she's not considering the position of her father at all, right? And what his responsibility is and how important he is. Yep. so they could marry the widow of another priest. Right, I'm glad you brought that. I actually did make that note. I'm glad you brought that up. What about blemishes? What would disqualify somebody from the tribe of Levi from becoming a priest? Any kind of blemish. But there were some specifics named, right? They were still provided for. They were still provided for. That's right. Why were those requirements? You know, why couldn't those people that had those problems be priests? Well, some of those things will make them unclean, right? Some of those things listed. I don't know if there's a reason, but just in my mind, you know, as they're making their way to the Promised Land and they're kind of becoming famous for, you know, all the battles they're winning and you know, their God going before them. And other nations are kind of seeing what they're doing and are learning about them. How would it look if their leaders, their high priests and their priests, the people that they put their stock in, you know, were in these conditions? That's a good point. That's a real good point. I imagine there's a lot of heavy lifting. But I think there's many reasons.
Yes. So it's hard to put an answer to it.
It is.
There were times in Old Testament history where God minimized the importance of man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gideon and his army. The role that man played in that was minimized to maximize the God that they served. So it's hard. The one thing that did cross my mind is it parallels the requirements of the sacrifice.
It does.
The sacrifices that have to be brought before God have to be unblemished. And the men who serve in that sacrificial role in those ordinances of divine service, they too have to be unblemished.
Yep. The sacrifices had to be the same. Some of the requirements were exactly the same for those sacrifices, in the exact same word. And that's kind of what I was getting at, but I agree with you. Yeah.
And that their image of perhaps of God might be the priest that he represents.
Well, they were the ones wearing the special clothes and standing out and had the breastplates with the, and the big hat. And, I mean, symbolically, they were the representative of God. So. Not to say that we couldn't serve if we do, but you think about what people outside of, and I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right. Because they don't understand that it's God, right? You know, they look, well, how could somebody be in that condition and serve, you know, but it is hard to. Everybody said everything better tonight than this guy right here, you know, flat-nosed Dave. He said he might make fun of him. He does. Absolutely. Impact of the priest serving the tabernacle while unclean. What would some of the impact be? Yeah, the punishment for serving while unclean would be cut off. The question before that, number 9, and references verses 1 through 9, what impact did a priest serving at the tabernacle while unclean have? They bear sin for it and die for it. So not only cut off, if cut off doesn't mean death, which I don't think it does in every case, but if they might die from it, that does. So it had consequences. We talked about who could eat of the holy things. What if what? That important now?
It must be that important.
It must be. Or maybe more. Right? Could that be said? I mean, yeah, because, I mean, what do we have that they don't have? I mean, don't we have so much more? I mean, if you have more, you stand to lose more. Talk about the blemishes of the sacrifices. What if the law was violated? Pertaining to eating holy things, because there were some restrictions on that. What was the restitution for that? It wasn't death, was it? What was the restitution? I had to pay it back 1/5, right? Because whose was it? Who are you paying back? Lord, it was consecrated to him, right? How did one profane God's name? Talking about profane a while ago. How would one profane God's name? And it's the same as today. Not doing his will, not keeping his commandments, right? And then the opposite of that, how does one hallow God's name? By keeping his commandments, right? Yeah, was there ever time that the children of Israel were just going through the motions?
Probably from this point on.
Probably from this point on, right? You think about especially to when Jesus actually was in his ministry and, you know, how they were at that time, you know, they were more concerned with the laws. They were more about the laws than actually why they had the laws, right? And we need to be careful not to do the same thing because we can. And we put ourselves in their shoes, right? That really helps us. It helps me to understand how important it is today not to do those things and how much more diligent we need to be, like Lamar said, when you think about it in those terms, right?